Hello, this is Nicolene Ambrose with the Tri-County Journal, dated Wednesday, October 14th. First article, paint-by-number mural coming soon to Douglas County Museum. Nearly 7 months into the COVID-19 pandemic and the mental health of American citizens continues to be negatively affected by the virus. Changing work schedules, the transition of our children to e-learning, self-isolation, and sheer worry have had a profound impact not just on our personal lives, but the communities in which we live. While evidence continues to suggest that the number of Americans reporting depression, anxiety, sleeplessness, and even suicide is on the rise, state and local policy has discouraged social interactions that have become crucial to our overall mental well-being. The Douglas County Museum hopes to change that by infusing a little art into the county. In an effort to bring people together in both a literal and figurative sense, a Douglas County Museum Association will be seeking volunteers to help paint the county's largest mural located at the County Museum in Tuscola. Executive Director Anna Miller says, "Unfortunately, we have had to postpone many of our events this year, not just at the museum, but events that help expose our museum to the wider county audience." Miller continues, "It's those kinds of events that are crucial to our organization and its members." Museum Association President Hannah Myers has been eager to push the mural project forward, given the current pandemic. Myers states, "Not only is this mural a great way to get people outdoors and off technology, it gives county residents the opportunity to be a part of something much larger than themselves. We hope after completion, the mural can really serve as a medium for a much richer county connection." The mural's paint-by-number concept was designed by Vintage Karma owner and Douglas County Museum Association Vice President Ainsley Heilick. The design features images representative of the county's overall history, a C&EI train, an Amish buggy, and original county courthouse, to name a few. However, tucked into those images are smaller Easter eggs that are tied to individual communities scattered throughout the county. Mural designer Heilick stated that "we really wanted a mural that highlighted interesting and often overlooked connections to local areas." The mural has, in fact, taken more than 40 hours to design, and Heilick is set to begin the process October 15th. The museum had an outpouring of interest in the upcoming mural event, and for that they are thankful. However, in an effort to maintain social distancing guidelines as well as provide adequate time with mural designers, they are encouraging groups up to 5 to reserve a 2-hour time slot starting October 17th at 9 a.m. and continuing with 2-hour intervals until 5 p.m. Starting Sunday the 18th and continuing through to Friday the 23rd, volunteer hours will begin at 11 a.m. and continue at 2-hour intervals until 5 p.m. You can sign up for a time slot on the Douglas County Museum's Facebook page or by contacting any event organizer. However, please note that you are in no means obligated or held to these times. If you are unable to make it, that is okay. If you are finished before the time is up, that's okay too. They are simply trying to ease congestion and confusion surrounding the organization of our event. They want to make sure that they not only follow all recommended health measures, but provide volunteers with a fun and rewarding experience. Paintbrushes, paint, and beverages will be provided, and volunteers are encouraged to wear older clothing in case of painting accidents. Heilick plans to complete the mural on October 24th, where citizens are encouraged to come watch his final touches. If you have any questions regarding the mural, you can contact Anna Miller at the Douglas County Museum at 217-253-2525. Even if you are not planning to paint, Come, bring a chair and watch the action. Next article. Sarah Bush Lincoln critical care nurse Natalie Ernest, RN, honored with DAISY Award. Critical care nurse Natalie Ernest, RN, was honored with the DAISY Award for Extraordinary Nurses at Sarah Bush Lincoln on September 29th. Ernest was nominated by two granddaughters who were grateful for the compassionate care she provided to their grandmother at the end of her life. In their nomination letter, the granddaughters wrote, Natalie was our grandmother's nurse in the critical care unit for the final two nights of her life. To say that Natalie embodies the Sarah Bush Lincoln standards is an understatement. She is a very compassionate and skilled nurse. She was very attentive to our grandmother's needs and ours. She went out of her way to call us when her shift ended to give us a report of how Grandma's night was. She was at her side and ours during her final hours, caring for her medical needs, which were many, while also taking care of her and all of us as if we were her own family. Our grandmother had been sick for a few months, and we knew her passing was inevitable. Natalie was a true blessing in making this situation more bearable and comfortable for us all. She comforted Grandma and us as we were made the final decision to let her go. She is an outstanding example of what a true nurse should be, making a difference in each of her patients' lives. Thank you, Natalie, for everything that you did for all of us. Sarah Bush Lincoln has joined more than 2,700 healthcare facilities by becoming a DAISY Award hospital partner. During the award presentation, Albert received a certificate, a DAISY DAISY award pin, and a unique hand-carved serpentine stone sculpture from Zimbabwe entitled A Healer's Touch. I believe that last sentence should have been during the award presentation, Natalie received the DAISY award pin and a unique hand-carved serpentine stone sculpture from Zimbabwe. The DAISY Award was established in memory of J. Patrick Barnes, who died at 33 of complications of idiopathic thrombocytopenic purpura, ITP, a little known but not uncommon autoimmune disease. Parentheses, DAISY is an acronym for diseases attacking the immune system, end parentheses. The care Patrick and his family received from nurses while he was ill inspired this unique means of thanking nurses for making a profound difference in the lives of their patients and families. Patients, visitors, nurses, physicians, and other employees may nominate a deserving nurse for the DAISY Award, and a nurse will be selected by SBL's DAISY Committee every month to receive this special honor. Nomination forms are located at www.sarahbush.org and at all SBL clinics and on patient floors. These forms can be submitted to any Sarah Bush Lincoln staff member or sent via email to daisy@sblhs.org or mail to Sarah Bush Lincoln, DAISY Nursing Award, 1000 Health Center Drive, Mattoon, Illinois, 61938. For more information, SBL DAISY Coordinator Tracy McCord, RN, at 217-238-4987 or tmccord@sblhs.org. Next article, Getting to Know Douglas County Write-In Coroner Candidate Endress by Kendra Hennis. Name, Nellie Endress, age 54. Family, husband Kevin, son Brian, daughter Becca Dunn, and five wonderful grandchildren. My husband is a captain for Tuscola Fire for 33 years, and our son is a firefighter. Our daughter teaches Tinker Garden. Area of representation, Douglas County write-in candidate, Douglas County Coroner. Educational professional background. I have been a nurse and public servant for over 20 years. Born in Springfield, moved to Tuscola, where I have been here for over 53 years. Graduated from Tuscola High School in 1984. EMT education, nursing school at Parkland College. Before becoming a nurse, I worked as EMT supervisor for ACE Ambulance Service. I was on Tuscola Fire for 5 years. I feel that my background as an EMT and being on Tuscola Fire gave me valuable experiences in working with people who have been involved in traumatic situations, as death scenes often are. Those experiences have given me a valuable understanding of accidents and death investigations. I have experienced many aspects of nursing, from being an assistant director of nurses, worked in hospital doctor's offices, and public health. Currently working with the Champaign-Urbana Health Department for 5 years. As many of you know, my oldest brother, Joe, the coroner for 25 years and chief deputy coroner for 14 years, unfortunately passed away earlier this year unexpectedly. I am aware of the stress and strain of the job, the sleepless nights that are involved with this position. Joe made this position look effortless, but I know the toll it takes and am more than ever ready to take the job on myself. This is why I know that I am the best candidate for this position. Unknowingly, he has been training me for this position, and I have learned about the expectations for this position. Joe has also taught me what things I need to add to be an extraordinary coroner. Those things are not written down for others to read. Those are the things people learn after being on the job for decades. If voted into this position, I will not take the expectations of this position lightly and would be honored to continue serving my community as a public servant in this new role. Civic involvement, fire, EMS. Question: what qualifications, attributes do you feel you bring to this role? I'm a team player. I understand the importance of a team. As the coroner, I understand the expectations of me and know the importance of why those who lead need to also listen to those they are serving, as well as the other positions associated with the coroner. I am ambitious and I'm ready to take on this position and serve those in our county. Next question. What do you feel are the greatest challenges the county is facing right now? Do you have any thoughts as to how they could be addressed? What do you see as the county's greatest strengths? Greatest challenge is the impact of COVID-19 on county and state budgets in the near future. Being resourceful is the greatest strength the county has. Next question. What factored into your decision to run for this office? Why do you feel you are the better choice? This position became open due to the unfortunate loss of my brother. Had my brother not passed away, I wouldn't have run, as nobody could do this job better than Joe. I had an intense yearning to run for this position soon after his death because I personally want a coroner with the experience and qualities that Joe possessed. Joe has unknowingly been priming me for decades to get ready for this position, and I have been subconsciously learning from him. Our family has been involved with being public servants all our lives. We take pride in helping those in our community when they are having possibly one of the worst days of their lives. Next question. Have you ever held public office before? And if so, what and for how long? I have not held a position in public office before. Next question. What do you feel are the primary responsibilities for the office of coroner? What are your qualifications for this role? To properly and accurately document the death of residents or visitors in Douglas County. To notify and console the family of the deceased. I have been an RN for years, as well as I worked as an EMT for 15 years and assisted with the traumatic incidents seen with MVAs. I have experience with this and know what is expected of me. What, if any, do you feel is the most pressing issue facing the office of the Douglas County Coroner? How do you plan to address that issue? The coroner needs to be available as much as possible to serve with compassion and to work with all agencies and funeral homes without bias. I plan to be available as much as possible, If elected, I will work all but one day a week for the coroner's office. My plan is to work for my present job one day out of the week so I can keep up my nursing skills. Next question, what changes, if any, would you make to the office? I would ask the retired deputies to return to continue the experience and professionalism that was in place before my brother's passing. Next question, is there anything else you would like me to add? There is a misconception that if a mistake is made on the ballot and that the ballot is ruined. That is not the case. The race that has an error is not counted. The ballot has a place to write in your choice even if you vote the electronic ballot. Next, the obituaries. Carol S. Spraker. Carol Sue Spraker, 68, of Atwood, passed away at 1:38 a.m. Monday, July 27th at the Decatur Memorial Hospital in Decatur. Celebration of life services were held at 11 a.m. Saturday, October 10th at the Solid Rock Chapel, 1213 East Jackson, Sullivan. Visitation was held 1 hour prior to the services at the chapel. Hillegoss Schrader Funeral Home, Atwood, is assisting the family with the arrangements. Terry D. Sluder. Terry Douglas Doug Sluder, 74, of Westchester, Ohio, died on Sunday, September 27th at the University of Cincinnati Medical Center. In lieu of flowers, memorials are suggested to the donor's choice. Graveside services were held at 1:30 p.m. Saturday, October 3rd at the Tuscola Township Cemetery in Tuscola with Pastor Jason Broughton officiating. Hillegoss Schrader Funeral Home, Tuscola is entrusted with the arrangements. Maria Garcia. Maria de la Cruz Hernandez de Garcia, age 65, of Garrett, was called home at 2:55 p.m. Saturday, September 12th in Mission, Texas, surrounded by her husband and three sons. Floyd L. Ray. Floyd L. Ray, 89, of Tuscola, passed away at 10:45 p.m. on Friday, September 25th, 2020 Arbor Rose of Monticello. Graveside funeral services with military rites conducted by the Walter Jones VFW Post 2876 of Villa Grove were held at 2 p.m. on Tuesday, September 29th at the Camargo Cemetery. Pastor Lenny Summer officiated. The Edwards Funeral Home is assisting with arrangements. Keith L. Meadows. Keith L. Meadows, 89, of Arthur, passed away at 10:45 a.m. on Friday, October 2nd at Mattoon Rehabilitation and Healthcare Center. At Keith's request, no formal services will be held. Kimberly E. Howard. Kimberly E. Howard, 60, of Springfield, passed away at 5:53 p.m. on Monday, September 28th at the Memorial Medical Center in Springfield. A graveside service was held at 3 p.m. on Saturday, October 3rd at the Camargo Cemetery in Camargo. Pastor Mike Zylstra officiated. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be made to an organization of the donor's choice. Larry Wagner. Larry Wagner, 81, of Ogden, passed away at 8:44 p.m. Monday, September 21st at Carl Foundation Hospital, Urbana. Graveside services were held at 10 a.m. Saturday, September 26th at Stearns Cemetery, Fithian. Memorials may be made to disabled American veterans. Russell Reynolds. Russell Reynolds, formerly of Tolono, was born June 25th, 1937, the son of Clifford and Pearl Reynolds. He passed away on September 5th in Sun City, Florida. No services were held. Next article. Douglas County Ag in the Classroom meets virtually in September. Douglas County Ag in the Classroom is remotely continuing their program during COVID-19. Enrolled classrooms receive ag bags, individually packaged kits of articles, lessons, and crafts for each student. September lessons featured apples in conjunction with a virtual field trip that classrooms were able to log into and view. The Illinois Ag in the Classroom sponsored field trip showcased Brautigam Orchard near Belleville, showing their orchard, harvesting, and processing. They also interviewed the owner while the teachers asked questions using the chat feature. Apples contain vitamin A, vitamin C, vitamin B6, and vitamin B12. Apples contain as much fiber as a whole bowl of most cereals. Apples grow best in northern climates, and 36 states grow apples commercially. Half of the apples produced are eaten fresh, the others processed into delicious treats such as apple cider, apple juice, and applesauce. Ag bags for younger students contained an apple tree through the season's worksheet and an apple craft. Older students made an apple life cycle craft. Douglas County Ag in the Classroom is supported by Douglas County Farm Bureau, Douglas County Ag Center, and Illinois Ag in the Classroom. Next article. How to take a proactive approach in your personal health care. Proactive health care has long been touted by medical professionals, though many people still don't take such recommendations to heart. In fact, a recent report from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention estimated that as much as 75% of healthcare spending in the United States is reactive in nature, meaning that money is going toward treating conditions and diseases rather than preventing them from occurring in the first place. Taking an active role in your own healthcare is easier than people may think, and the benefits of such a proactive approach are numerous, including a reduced risk for various diseases. Schedule annual physicals. Annual physicals are one of the simplest and most effective ways for individuals to take active roles in their personal health. Many health insurance plans cover annual physical exams at no cost to policyholders, and these examinations can uncover issues even when individuals are not feeling any symptoms. Annual physicals also provide great opportunities for individuals to discuss diet and healthy lifestyle choices with their physicians in relaxed settings. Learn about the preventive services that are right for you. Individuals should speak with their physicians about which services are recommended for individuals in their situations. Screening guidelines are often age-based, but they also take personal history and family history into account. For example, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services recommends all adults between the ages of 50 and 75 be screened for colorectal cancer, but the frequency of those screenings will depend on each individual's personal risk and which screening test they choose. Embrace physical activity. The DHHS notes that regular physical activity increases a person's chances of living a longer, healthier life. In addition, the CDC says regular physical activity reduces a person's risk for chronic conditions, including type 2 diabetes, heart disease, various types of cancer, and even mood disorders like depression and anxiety. Access to fitness facilities may be limited or unavailable during the pandemic, but that should not deter people from exercising regularly. Walking, jogging, hiking, and cycling are great forms of cardiovascular exercise that have been linked to a host of health benefits. On Friday, October 23rd, will be the 27th Illinois Haiti Benefit Auction at the Otto Center, 2056 County Road 1800 East in Arthur, Illinois. Next article is an explanation of a proposed amendment that will be on the ballot. Proposed amendment to Section 3 of Article 9 of the Illinois Constitution, Article 9, Revenue Section 3, Limitations on Income Taxation. The explanation is, the proposed amendment grants state authority to impose higher income tax rates on higher income levels, which is how the federal government and a majority of other states do it. The amendment would remove the portion of the revenue article of the Illinois Constitution that is sometimes referred to as flat tax that requires all taxes on income to be at the same rate. The amendment does not itself change tax rates. It gives the state the ability to impose higher tax rates on those with higher income levels and lower tax rates on those with middle or lower income levels. You are asked to decide whether the proposed amendment should become part of the Illinois Constitution. In brief, arguments in favor of the proposed amendment: this amendment would make Illinois' tax system fair. The federal government and most states use the graduated tax system proposed in this amendment, not the unfair system currently used in Illinois. Illinois' current income tax system relies on taxes from middle and lower income earners, while a graduated system would lower that burden and fund critical programs such as education and human services. After the COVID-19 pandemic, we need to do all we can to help the economy and middle class and working people. Arguments against the proposed amendment: the amendment gives the legislature power to increase taxes on any group of taxpayers with no limits and no accountability and without any requirement to use the additional revenue to fund essential needs such as health care, education, or public safety. Taxes and spending are out of control. The legislature should not be allowed to keep raising taxes until they get their spending under control. In the wake of the COVID-19 pandemic, now is the worst possible time for a massive tax increase. Next article: families will gather virtually October 15th to honor babies, support one another. This year, the free event was held from 7 to 8 p.m. on October 15th, was held virtually from the garden with quiet times of remembrance accompanied by harp music and inspirational messages of hope from Carl Chaplain Florian Commanda and Linda Ellison, retired certified perinatal bereavement counselor. Visitors to the Shining Light Infant Memorial Garden will find the garden beautifully decorated during the week of October 12th. Families have an opportunity to visit on their own and pick up a small remembrance gift while socially distancing and wearing face coverings to protect themselves and others from the spread of coronavirus. The garden is visible from West Church Street near Park Street. "This is our way of giving families comfort while honoring their babies," Rachel Campbell, RN, Labor and Delivery and Perinatal Grief and Bereavement Liaison at Carl, said. "Sometimes pregnancy loss is pushed to the back burner, but parents need to know it is okay not to feel okay. Carl has a whole team there when you are ready to reach out for support," she said. And the final article: SBL Healthy Kids Program provides cyber safety videos to area schools. Sarah Bush Lincoln's Healthy Kids Program is excited to provide 8 area schools with a series of videos that are designed to help keep students safe online. The video series were recently sent to Charleston High School and Middle School, Mattoon High School and Middle School, Shelbyville High School and Moulton Middle School, and Sullivan High School and Middle School. The video series is funded by a $4,000 grant from Women Connected, a philanthropic giving circle within the Sarah Bush Lincoln Health Foundation.